We're going to look at the Word of God. I'm going to take three short sections. They'll come up on the screen. They're from the New King James Version. These three verses, Luke 24, 49, Acts 1, 8, and the description of what happened on the day of Pentecost when it had fully come, when the day was fulfilled. This is what happened. We'll read of in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. So, Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49. Jesus has risen and appeared to his disciples, and he says this to them, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, tarry." Now, I'm reading this from the New King James because I wanted to use that word, because it's a slightly old-fashioned word, but it's a slightly unusual word, but therefore it catches our attention a little bit more. It's a very, very important word that I want to major on today. Jesus says, "But tarry." Some translations say stay or wait. The word really kind of means to sit down. Jesus is saying, you're not going anywhere fast, guys. Sit down because you've got something else you've got to receive. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or clothed with power from on high. And then over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see Jesus saying similar words again. Just before he ascends into the heavens, he says this to the disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." In other words, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, but he brings something with him. It's not just the Holy Spirit comes and, oh, that's a nice feeling. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And there's purpose to it. "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." One of the wonderful things about the Christian faith is it's a real ends of the earth thing. In the book of Revelation, we see a picture in heaven of people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue worshiping God together. And isn't it great? You know, here we've got probably at least a dozen nationalities in this hall here in White Inch today worshiping God together. It's awesome. It's awesome. And God sends us to the ends of the earth. And some of you guys are going to be traveling off soon, which is just great. We bless you in that. And then what Jesus promised is fulfilled. Every promise that God makes, he will fulfill. Every promise that God makes, he will fulfill. We just got to wait on it. We got to step into it. We got to receive it. And these disciples, with others with them, 120 people, they met in an upper room. And for 10 days they prayed. For 10 days they waited. They tarried before the Lord. For 10 days they prayed, and Jesus said, wait until you receive power. There was nothing else to pray for. They wouldn't have known what else to pray for. But Jesus, fulfill your promises. Let it come. Let the Holy Spirit come and fill us and clothe us with power from on high. And it says this, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wow. You can get excited here in White Inch this morning. For those of you visiting here, but we're allowed to get excited. They don't do it all the time. So any you know, adding to excitement, that's great. Any adding to a better response, it's all good. It's all good from where I'm standing. The Holy Spirit came. Every one of them was filled. And as he filled them, it looks like something. It comes something. Something pours out of them. And if you continue to read Acts 2, of course, you see the great effect of that as they go out and Peter proclaims the good news and the fulfillment of prophecy. And 3,000 men, probably plus some women and some children, are added to their number, give their lives to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we need a greater outpouring of his Spirit. There's a promise of Scripture that says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So that's not been fulfilled yet. So come on, Lord. We call in your promise. We want to see greater things. We need a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We've tasted and we've seen. We've tasted and we've seen. I've tasted something of this, and I want so much more. You ever taste something and you think, oh, my, that's good? And you say, I'll have some more of that. I've tasted, I've seen. We were in Aberdeen last weekend ministering, and we were having lunch with the leadership team, and one of them, you know, when you go, they just all make good desserts. You know, you go visit with folk, they make good desserts. It's one of the real benefits of traveling in ministry. And somebody had made this cheesecake. I'll tell you, it was awesome. It was awesome. And I had a small piece of the cheesecake. There was three desserts. It would be rude not to try each one. I mean, if folk had gone to the, you know, if I took two and not the third, that person might be offended that they didn't try their dessert. So you kind of have a bit of each one. But that cheesecake was so good. I tasted it and I wanted more. But Helen was there and I kind of thought, no, I better not. And I'll get into trouble later on. So I just settled for the one piece. But I wanted more of that cheesecake. If I could have just prayed over that cheesecake, Lord, remove the calories. Supernaturally remove the calories. And give me a huge bit. But I don't know about you. Some of you will know what I'm saying here. I've tasted something of the glory of the Lord. When it comes down and things shift, the atmosphere changes. Heaven comes upon the earth. And I want more. I want more. Now, when the Spirit came in Pentecost, that was an initial coming. We've received the Spirit, so the Spirit's in us, but there's still more to come. How could we have all of the Holy Spirit? He's immeasurable. He's eternal. And so we need a bringing forth of those streams of living water from within, meeting a greater outpouring of the waters and waves of the Spirit from above that would cover this land, that would cover this city, that would cover our families, that would move in power among us. Come on, we're not going to settle for the way life is, are we? No. We're not going to settle for the way our nations are. We're not going to settle for the numbers of people whose lives are being ruined by darkness. We're not going to settle for that. We're not going to settle for allowing the enemy, the demonic powers, to have such influence and such sway in our lands. We're going to rise up. Ezekiel prophesied of an army that would come together, bone to bone, flesh would come upon them, then they would rise up. But they couldn't just rise up like that. Something still had to happen. Prophesy to the wind, the Lord says to him. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And the Spirit comes and they rise up, a vast army. God is raising up an army today. Where he would bring us together, bone to bone, aligned to one another in Christ Jesus, and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the qualification you need. That's the qualification you need. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, clothed with power from on high. And so what do we have here in these verses? We have the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, the promise. Jesus speaks of the promise of the Father. He speaks a word to his disciples, and he says, you shall receive. He doesn't say, oh, possibly, we'll try and work something out. He says, you shall. That's his word, his promise. And they took hold. We need to believe the promise of God and take hold of it. And God wants to bring many things in his church. But hey, when the Spirit comes, he brings a manifestation of power. He brings a manifestation of power. And Paul prays two great prayers. Those of you here in this church who have heard me, you know I'm passionate about these two prayers. They're my Monday and Tuesday prayers and have been for over 20 years now. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. And in both those prayers, Paul mentions the power. He's talking about his receiving the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to know all the things that Christ has gained for us, to know him and all that he has in our inheritance. And he prays that we might know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's what he's got for us. Incomparably great power. And chapter 3, Paul prays an amazing, wonderful, super-filled prayer there. And at the end of it, he says, now to him and to what he can do according to his power at work in us. You see, God's not working in power outside of us. He's working in power in us and through us. And we need to keep receiving it, rising up in it, believing. When the Spirit comes in power, everything changes. When the Spirit comes in power, everything changes. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist of a bygone time. And Moody, you know, he would preach the great truth of the gospel, and he would see very little response. And he was seeking the Lord over this, and one day he was walking along the streets of New York. He was walking along Wall Street, of all places. And he describes his experience. It was so holy an encounter that he very rarely spoke of it, but he did leave us an account of it. And the Spirit of God came upon him as he walked along Wall Street in such power that he had to find the home of a friend nearby just to get a place alone. And in that place, the power of God came and filled him in such a way that he says the revelation of God's love was so incredible, he had to pray and say, "Lord, stop, take your hand off, that's enough," because he felt he was going to die just with the overwhelming magnitude of the love of God and the power of his Spirit. And shortly after that experience, he went to London. Maybe they said it's hard in London, I don't know. But he went to London, and he says, "I preached the same sermons, I told the same truths, but now, wherever I went, hundreds and hundreds came to faith in Jesus." Because he had been endued, clothed with power from on high. Number two, the weight of his people. I just want to major on this for a few moments this morning. And I want us to respond to this at the end this morning as well. The weight of his people. That we would tarry, that we would wait. That we would tarry, that we would wait. 10 days, those disciples, just 10 days, they prayed. Jesus had left them. I don't know what went through their minds. You know, they all deserted him at his death. Then he appears to them. They're bewildered. They're getting hold of this. He's actually risen. Oh, yeah, he told us that was going to happen, didn't he? But we didn't really believe him. But here he is, and we see it now, and it dawns on them. And, you know, it must have been such an incredible time for them. And then he says, "But I'm going now, but I'm going to send the Spirit, but you've got to wait." And you've got 10 days of he's gone, and, well, we're in this upper room and nothing. And what if after 7 days they thought, "You know what, we've done a week. This isn't going to happen." And they gave up. What if after 9 days they thought, "Oh, this just isn't going to happen," and they gave up? Who knows? But they press in, they press in, they press in. You see, we're increasingly, I believe, we're just unaccustomed to waiting. We're unaccustomed to waiting. Look at the frustration people feel when you try to log onto a website and it buffers for a moment. Yeah? Come on! It should be shooting up. I mean, who's old enough to remember dial-up? Remember you used to dial, you know, and you'd pick up the phone? Remember you used to use landline phones? Those relics of the past? And you'd pick up the phone and your son would be on the computer dial-up and you'd go, you remember that? And how long it took? I mean, we just wouldn't tolerate that now because we've known the speed, haven't we? We've known the speed of things, and we're becoming increasingly unaccustomed to waiting. We're even rather adverse to it. You go for a flight, and you see that dreaded announcement on the board, 2-hour delay. Delay? What do we do? Remember sitting in the doctor's surgery once, you know? 40 minutes I had to wait. That would have been okay, but it's this little tiny room, and all the folks sitting are all coughing and sneezing, and I'm thinking, I'm going to walk out more sick than I came in. Why did I bother coming? So why do we need to wait for the Spirit? Why did Jesus make them? Why didn't he just give it first day? Why didn't he just go up to heaven and send the Spirit there and then? Do we always need to wait? What happens in the waiting? What happens in the waiting? I want you to ponder that a moment this morning. See, I think you wait for what you value. You wait for what you value. We talk about something being, well, that was worth waiting for. Or we might say, well, that wasn't worth waiting for. But you wait for what you value. And I wonder, again, in our society of instant things and rush and so on, have we lost the ability to value some things, maybe? Could it even be in the church that we've lost something of the valuing of just the presence of the Lord? Just the presence of the Lord. You know, we could have great worship and we can have both, but if it came to a choice, I just want the presence of the Lord. And I don't need a guitar, I don't need a preacher, I don't need it. If we get the presence of the Lord, that's what I value. I want to know He's with us, He's upon us. I want to know the presence of the Lord where things truly happen, where heaven breaks into the earth. Secondly, waiting is an expression of faith and of trust. And I think God's looking for that in us. You know, ultimately, what's the Father? He's saying, trust in me. Trust in me. He's looking for our trust. And he's looking there to put trust in us, that he can entrust this great mission of bringing his kingdom on earth here in the world. And God is looking for a response of faith and of trust. And if you get everything instantly, then you don't have to really believe and trust, do you? Because you just get it. You see, if I say to Helen, oh, we're going to meet such and such a person, and we turn up and 20 minutes on, you know, they've not appeared. Now, if I know they're a really unreliable person, I think, okay, let's go home, honey, you know, because they're not showing up. But if it's somebody I know and I really know they're reliable, I really know they're trustworthy, after 20 minutes we're thinking, something must have happened because they'll come. They'll come and we're going to wait because they'll come. And when the Father says, I'm going to give you something, we need to learn to wait in an attitude of saying, yes, Lord, I don't care how long I have to wait, but you'll come through because I know you and I know you're trustworthy and I know when you say it, you mean it, and when you promise it, you'll deliver. And you know, the things of God, the power of God, the anointing of the Spirit is so worth getting hold of. Even if it means we have to wait a year and do nothing, it's worth it. But you know, so quickly we want to rush out and say, well, he's not shown up, so we'll do our thing. He's not shown up, so we'll do our thing. We'll produce our tiny little bit of fruit rather than waiting that we might see a magnitude of fruit come forth. See, in the waiting, we're breaking the restrictions of unbelief that have infiltrated into us. And in a sense, we're waiting for something. It already is, because the Spirit's already here. But he's sometimes unseen, and we're waiting to see him manifest, to become visible. We're going to wait on him this morning in that way. As we were ministering last weekend in Aberdeen, we felt the need to press in for some healing. There'd been some testimony of partial healings. I thought, no, I don't want to hear testimony of partial healings. I want to see verifiable. We love the verified by doctors type of healing. And we said, let's press in, let's stand. I got the folks to stand, and you know, some were more accustomed to it and some weren't. I could see that on their expressions. I said, we're going to wait. Wait on the Spirit to come. Wait on the anointing. And we waited and we waited. And after a few minutes, one or two folk, you could see the Spirit come on them. And others, nothing yet. I said, we're going to wait longer. We're going to wait longer. And as we did, every single person who was standing for healing, the Spirit of God came on, and you see the power just resting over their bodies. And I want to encourage you this morning to wait. I want to encourage us together as we stand in a few moments to wait upon the Spirit. Don't think about where you're going next. Don't think about lunch. Don't think about rushing out for this. Let's wait upon the Spirit. It's something we've got to discipline our hearts into a little bit more. Great revivals came as people waited on God. The great revival in Azusa Street. Who's from California? Woo! Azusa Street, Los Angeles, 1906 or thereabouts. And William Seymour, man with one eye, but he had an eye for what God was doing. And he would sit at the meetings, and as they worshipped, he'd put an orange box over his head. I don't know why it was an orange box. I guess that's what was handy. He'd put an orange box so he wasn't distracted by anything else going on. And he would wait until he knew that the anointing of the Spirit had come before he would speak. Sometimes it'd be 10 minutes, sometimes it'd be an hour, sometimes it'd be even longer. But he refused to take off the orange box and speak until he knew he had the anointing of the power of the Spirit upon him. And people would come out of wheelchairs and people would be healed of all manner of things as the power of God would move. We want that, and we want even more than that in our day. And so as we wait upon the Lord, so we experience the weight of the Lord. But wait, if it comes up, you will see is spelled differently. We wait, and what comes upon us is that the weight, the glory. The word for glory in Hebrew is that sense of the weighty presence of the Lord. The weight of the Lord comes. His Spirit falls upon us. Another great evangelist, revivalist of days gone by was Charles Finney. One day, Charles Finney went into a factory. One morning, early morning, he went into a factory in New York. It was a weaving, sewing type of factory full of lots of young women working there. And you see, Finney carried something of that endued with power from on high. Part of his secret was a man called Daniel Nash. People have heard of Finney. Not many folk have heard of Nash. But see, Nash would go where Finney went. He'd go 3 weeks beforehand, and he'd find a couple of intercessors, and they'd get into a dark room and just cry out until they get breakthrough in the Spirit. We need intercessors like that today who will travail before the Lord and will break through and clear the way. And Finney goes into this factory, and as he goes in, two young women at their sewing machines get a bit agitated. And as he gets closer to them, they begin to weep and they fall down upon the floor as the Spirit of God just comes upon them in conviction. And then others around them, the same thing begins to happen. And the owner of the factory, not a believer yet, recognizes something divine is happening in his factory, and he closes down the factory for work. And that day, hundreds of those working in it, almost everyone in that factory gives their life to Jesus. Come on, don't you want to see that today? We're seeing a taste. It's great to go to Glasgow Fort. I love Glasgow Fort. And it's great to go there and see some things begin to happen. But wouldn't it be great to go and just hundreds, shops are saying, let's just close the shop for business because we're doing business with heaven today. Come on. When the Spirit comes in power, everything's possible. And finally, the wind and the waves blow. The wind and the waves blow. You see, the enemy brings wind and waves. Jesus went into a boat on the lake, and the wind and the waves came and were swamping. And Jesus was still. He was sleeping. And then he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. He says, be still, be silent, be quiet. And the enemy brings winds and he brings waves to try and swamp us and distract us and overwhelm us. And we need to learn to trust in God in a way we just be still, even in the wind and waves. And when we can be still there, we can begin to see the wind and the waves of God come. See, the wind blows on the day of Pentecost. He comes like a mighty rushing wind. And when wind blows long enough upon the sea, it creates waves. And we've seen waves of God's Spirit. We saw a great wave of God's Spirit in the mid-90s that overwhelmed our church in wonderful ways. We've seen great wave of the Spirit, but there's a greater wave coming. There's a greater wave coming. There's a greater wave coming. And God can't bring his wave if people won't receive the wind of his Spirit. Let the wind blow. Let the wave of God come. We need to be people who watch and who wait, and who welcome the Holy Spirit, who welcome his abiding, his anointing, his activity, as he makes known the things of Jesus to us more fully, that we would take hold and receive, and live in, step out in everything that he's given us. Come on, let's stand together. Let's wait upon his anointing to come rest upon us today. Let's wait upon the Spirit. And he will move among us today, and he will manifest as he wants in many different ways. Some people will feel something physical. Some of you won't. That's not a sign God's not at work if you don't feel something physical. God will work in different ways with different people. He'll bring healing to some of you deep in your soul. He's going to bring healing to areas that you felt no one can touch. That you felt no doctor, no psychiatrist, no counselor, no friend, no anyone has been able to touch. The Holy Spirit can get right in there. And he's going to bring healing to deep, dark places of the soul today. If we will wait on him, he will bring healing to bodies today. The power of the Lord is present to heal the sick. And as we wait upon him, He's going to stir up anointing. He's going to bring a fresh clothing with power upon your lives. So let's wait. Let's welcome. Let's receive. Jesus, we receive your promise.